Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It has been the summer of one of three things happening in games for the most part. A strikeout, a walk, or a home run. Last night, a record setter in Kansas City as we pick up the call of the legendary Denny Matthews.
Prepare, ready, the 3-2 pitch. Gordon swings and hits it pretty well, right center field. That's a way back, and that ball is gone. It's a home run for Gordon.
It's actually Steve Fizziak with the call. And Royals' Alex Gordon, his solo home run, broke the Major League single-season record for the most home runs in a season with 5,694. Oh, by the way, Kansas City lost to Toronto 5-2 because the Blue Jays hit more home runs than the Royals did. So Steve Fizziak with the call on the Royals Network. All right. Despite gaining some ground last week, we have not gained enough ground. We now bring in the Mystic from the East.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, oh, my God, I'm not going to win one game. Oh, at least I squeaked out two. But you guys did good, 3-3.
I have no idea what I was doing until Sean told me today. I hadn't noticed.
Oh, that's all I care about.
I understand. I was a little busy with a couple other things.
Priorities.
One of which is coming up Saturday, and one of which people will find out about tomorrow. So,
all right. Like what? What is it?
I can't say.
Why? I won't know.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. Later.
Oh, all right. Will you get married?
Already did that. That was done 38 years ago.
You're pregnant.
Not going to happen.
Okay. So. I'm not either. So.
So that's
wow,
case. Sending
now
out
you got me on edge. What's going on?
So something that's case. No, we're sending out a news alert.
No, it's no big
wow.
deal.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll just listen to the show tomorrow and find out.
Well, we're not on tomorrow.
No, we're not on tomorrow.
Oh. Well, then I'll never know.
Ever.
We're on a need-to-know basis.
This stuff keeps me up all night, but not tonight, because you know what tonight is.
Big Brother?
Oh, yeah, the finale.
Of course.
2 hours special. This is it. This is a Super Bowl of TV tonight. Besides that girl on America's Got Talent who sings with the puppets. Oh my God,
yeah.
Is she good.
Oh, her.
Have you seen her?
No, I don't watch America's Got Talent. I watched maybe the first episode or two of the very first season, and I dropped off. So I haven't watched it since.
Yeah, it's just that girl with the puppets. She is phenomenal. If you could just Google her, all you got to do is Google America Got Talent ventriloquist, and she comes out. You have to see her. She is so good.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, it's probably a vague Google, though. You probably had, because Terry Fader was the infamous ventriloquist who won season one of America's
Really?
Got Talent. Yeah, and he's got a big Vegas gig now. Yeah, Terry Fader. Yeah. He was huge in season
one. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the first year I ever watched it, but I watched it because of her.
Okay.
You'll get her. She'll come right up because that's other people we've done it with. And she's 12 years old, and she is so good. Don't miss it. It's good. It's worth watching her.
I know. Yeah, I've seen some previews on NBC of the girl. I haven't caught her name, but I know who you're talking about now.
She's adorable.
Yeah,
and it's which is part of the whole thing. You just can't believe all this is coming out of her, and she can sing perfectly and not move her mouth at all. It's hilarious. So, anyway, that's my world. So, me and my wife, we sit in the man cave, station 305, and we enjoy ourselves. So
that's what it's all about.
Yep, You got it. So.
I was on break, sorry.
Oh, my God, you're breaking my heart here. Now I don't know anything about you. You don't even listen to me. It's Sean. It's Sean was, making, I was almost going to say, all right, take care, buddy. Hang
up. I thought it was a pretty cheap, easy one-liner, so I used it.
Now I want to know where you went.
For a second there, I believed you.
No, I was here the whole time.
Understand, I'm going to be there next week. So we'll be live in the studio.
Yeah, I've got you up in the box.
Huh?
I said, I got you up in the box.
Nice.
How about clear?
Yes. They're going to leave her in the parking lot.
She is.
Yeah,
that's
the deal breaker. Yeah, clear and clear. You can sit by yourself in the end zone.
I took care of it.
Yeah. She'll be down the purple lot.
I told her she's going to have to be, you know, brush up on her football and things like that. So
she's
so
fine. Don't worry about it. Just have fun. Just have fun.
Pass. She can talk the talk.
Just have fun.
Awesome. Oh, man, I can't wait. I'm so excited. Good. We got to get out of here. And for the same reasons, you can't tell me why we got to get out of here. I can't talk about it. So. Anyway.
But, yes, you did slip last week, Kev, after clearing the decks, 6-0, 2-4 last week. Steve and I even up 3-3. So, overall, after a couple of weeks, Kev, you are 12-5. Steve and I are 9-8. So, we were able to gain a game. So, we got six
more. Makes it fun.
So, we got six more.
I was shocked by the Cowboys, boy. Zeke Elliott, what, 9 carries, 7 yards, or 7 carries, 9 yards?
And they gave up on a play. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
So they say he gave up on 2.
Well, you can get famous real quick, and you can fall real quick. So I think he'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
All right. Yeah. So we got 3 college and 3 pro, so we'll just jump right in. Saturday night at 7, you got the SEC matchup between Mississippi State and Georgia. I mean, we're talking about, you know, Denver beating the doors off of Dallas. How about Mississippi State last week over LSU? Who saw that coming?
I didn't.
37-3. They crushed them. Wow.
Hard to pick against them. I'm taking Mississippi State.
Yep, I've got them as well. Yep.
Yeah, Georgia has not been tested. I know they beat Notre Dame, but who's Notre Dame? We really don't know yet, so we'll find out.
Well, anybody that beats Notre Dame usually enters the top 10, regardless of their record. Let's see. I'm going to go with Georgia in that game. They're playing it. I'll take home field and play the home field card.
Yeah.
All right, Kev, you just brought up Notre Dame, so we'll go to that one.
Yep.
One of the great rivalries.
I am taking Michigan State. I love D'Antonio. Notre Dame, I mean, they beat Boston College, but it was a game for 3 quarters, and Boston College is not exactly a juggernaut. So I'm going to take Michigan State.
I have quarterback for Notre Dame. I'm going to go Fighting Irish.
There you go.
Talked to Glenn Mason, and Glenn was telling me Saturday night, he says, Michigan State's a lot better than they were last year. The quarterback's a big reason why. I'm going to go with Michigan State.
Okay, late night on Saturday night, we've got UCLA and Stanford. Stanford's first home game of the year.
Well, they both lost their last games. This is a tough one because neither one of them has really played well yet this year, in my opinion. So I'm going to do the home field advantage and take Stanford.
That's what I was thinking, too. Which team needs it? Which team needs a win more badly is Stanford? I'm going to go with the Cardinal, too.
Yeah.
There was no text exchange between Tom Bradley and me this week, the UCLA defensive coordinator. Because of what happened in Memphis last week. There wasn't anything I could think of to tell him. But I'm going to take UCLA anyway because I think the best player in the field is Josh Rosen.
Okay.
All right, so we'll move to the pros. We got our Sunday games. This, I think, could probably be the biggest game for the NFL this week for Week 3, Atlanta and Detroit.
Yeah, I'm taking the Falcons until they lose. They look great against Green Bay, and that's a good Green Bay team. And Detroit's playing well, but I'm gonna ride the Atlanta bandwagon because I think Matt Ryan is driven this year. Last year really got to him, and I expected Atlanta to kind of, because of the Super Bowl, come out crawling, and they've done just the opposite. So I'll go with Atlanta.
Dirty Birds, me too, rolling with the ATL.
For me, Atlanta is one of the few teams in the NFL that's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Falcons.
Yeah.
Okay, next we got Seattle at the Tennessee Titans.
Until Seattle can rush, the rookie rushed pretty good last week. Their offense is pitiful. And Tennessee is a more balanced team, and they're playing at home. I love Marcus Mariota. And Henry is going to be a great running back in the NFL. I'm taking Tennessee.
Yeah, shame on me last week for taking Jacksonville over Tennessee. Seattle's got Seattle's got no offensive line whatsoever. No. Titans.
Well, I picked Tennessee to win last week, and I'm going to keep rolling with the Titans.
Yep. Good picks, guys.
Okay. Sunday night game is going to be Oakland. They're coming cross country to take on Washington.
Oakland's playing, to me, is one of the top four teams in the NFL. Now, I said that about the Cowboys last week, and that just didn't work out very well. But Oakland is balanced. Washington played very well last week, but played very poorly the first week. So which team are we going to see? That being said, I have to take Oakland.
Yeah, Washington last week, 39 rushes, 269 yards, but it was against the Rams. So it's very rare for a West Coast team to win on the East Coast, but yeah, I'm going to go with the Raiders too.
Well, here's the big difference, though, with that, is that to the Raiders, the start time will be 5:30 on Sunday. The problem when you've got going west to east is when they put them in the 1 o'clock time slot where their body clock says it's 10 a.m. So I think that doesn't factor into this that time, this particular time. Derek Carr is not just good. He is a legitimately great quarterback. And now let's get back to that. Five or six teams out of 32 that are fun. The Raiders are fun. I'm going to go with Oakland.
Oh, especially now with Marshawn Lynch. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's like,
he's playing at his home. That's his home, Oakland.
Yeah, he's doing that whipping Nay-Day with his hair and the sidelines.
Hey, that stuff's good for the sport. I like it. Baseball needs more of it. So.
I think a lot of sports do. The other day, in fact, I mentioned this in the first half hour, Penn State's playing Iowa Saturday night, and Iowa has a really good running back, Akram Wadley. Well, Wadley against North Texas takes a pass out of the backfield, a wheel route, catches it and goes 68 yards for a touchdown, and he high steps it into the end zone the last 10 yards. The official throws a penalty flag on him from sportsmanlike conduct, takes the penalty off the board. Now, I am obviously completely for sportsmanship. But we also have to remember, this is an entertainment medium that we're on here. And they have to forget there's an entertainment level to them. He didn't embarrass the other team by doing that. Like, let's legislate joy out of everything. Joy's over with. Nobody can have fun anymore.
And this stuff has to stop. You don't want them to do that. Tackle them, you know?
Stop them.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Referees, put your friggin' whistles away. I mean, you're ruining the games.
It goes back to what I've talked about. That's what goes back to what I've talked about, right? My biggest problem with some officials, not all, but some officials, is I don't think some of them have a very good feel for the game. And to be really good at something, you've got to have a feel for it.
If I'm the other team and that guy is high kicking, and we get rewarded for the fact that he got away that far that he could even do that, I'm looking in my huddle and saying, guys, we suck. You know,
yeah.
We shouldn't have got this penalty. they should have scored a touchdown. We were given a gift because we couldn't stop the guy.
Imagine if Deion Sanders was still playing. I mean, he'd high step from 30 yards out.
Yeah. And let you know it, too. He'd have got 50 penalties a game. You know?
Exactly.
The game is fun. You know?
Look, people are trying to make entertainment choices. And entertainment comes in all forms. It could be a concert. It could be going to a local fair. It could be watching sports or Big Brother. You want to watch Big Brother. So, but it comes in all forms. You have to carve out what your entertainment niche happens to be. And if you keep legislating the fun out of it, you're legislating some of the entertainment out of it, too.
You've hit the nail right on the head. Can't say it any better than that. It's just the NFL has to figure out what's going on, and maybe they have by letting the celebrations come. I love that. Who was it? Was it Atlanta? Where Freeman scored, and then the lineman makes a basketball hoop out of his arms, and he shoots the ball through the hoop.
That was hilarious.
That was good. It was subtle. It was funny. They didn't throw it in anyone's face, and we're talking about it 4 days later, you know?
Right. That's right.
No, it's like when Martavis Bryant scored his first touchdown, you know, after the suspension, you know, with the Steelers Sunday. He had... Yeah, he and AB and a couple of the guys in the end zone, they were pretending on rolling dice.
Right.
It was fun.
And again, that's not offensive.
No, no harm done.
Because the NFL is supposed to be family entertainment. Family can sit there and laugh about it.
That's what baseball's missing. And I heard you on the show one day talking about, you know, it's very seldom that the managers come out and argue anymore. I mean, you can't make up how great it was when Billy Martin would come out and turn his hat around and kick dirt on the umpire's shoes.
Earl Weaver.
I mean, that stuff was priceless, and it's all gone. You know, you'd watch the game hoping it would happen. Hockey's great because of fights. You know, it's not great because of fights, but it's just a little added, little, like, more frosting on the cake. And baseball's taken the frosting off the cake and just turned it into a mechanical game that is really hard to watch for 4 hours, you know. And they put rules in, and then they don't enforce them. You know, you can't get out of the batter's box. Well, watch a game and watch how many guys get out of the batter's box, and nobody does a thing.
Uh-oh. Right. Exactly. And that's where they are right now. I mean, you can't make – you already have caused a chunk of the fans in the stadium to be corporate because of the pricing to begin with. So the average fan, not as many of them can get into stadiums now. Now you're making the game corporate. Yep. You can't do both because corporate's sterile. It's entertainment.
Yeah. They're not fans of the team. They're there to sell an airplane. You know.
And you can't make the game corporate either. All right, here we go. We're all corporate again. Look, the games are entertaining. They're of emotion. There's that emotional pro and con swing on the field, the emotion pro and con swing in the stands and on TV as you watch it. And the ebb and flow of the emotion is what gets you into what you're watching.
Yep. You knew, at least in this area, and I'm sure people around the country feel it, the Yankee-Red Sox rivalry was one of the biggest rivalries in all of sports. It's gone. You know?
Yeah, that's right. It's true. I agree with that.
It's gone. It's not, they're still rivals because they're competing against each other. But the rivalry we're talking about is fights on the field. And I'm not condoning fighting, but just the character of the game and the you hate the Red Sox or you hate the Yankees, I hate the Red Sox, and we agree to disagree, you know, we fight about it. Now it's all like, you know, and free agency has a lot to do with it.
Sure.
But because a player will play for the Red Sox this year and the Yankees next year. So they don't have a hatred for each other.
Jacoby Ellsbury.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect example. There you go. So, yeah, it's you don't have that fire in it anymore.
No, and I miss it. I miss getting ready for the big Red Sox Yankee game. I miss it. Now it's just like, oh, check the score, who won? You know, and I don't know.
No, thank God you got Big Brother.
Yeah. Oh my God! I can't wait for tonight.
Myself
right now. Paul should win, but you know,
we'll take your word for it.
Could be Christmas. Girl's name's Christmas, but she won't get taken to the final two. Do you want to know more about it?
Is her first name
Radio?
Is her first name Mary?
No, her first name is Christmas.
Oh, okay.
So she actually, Christmas Abbott, you can Google her. She's got her own fitness, written two books. So.
I'm sure she is.
No, I was going to say if her first name is Mary, then for her, every day is a holiday. You know?
She gets every joke in the book. She was talking about it one night, and she doesn't really care. But now, this is the finals tonight. The jury votes on them. It's very much like Survivor, if you've ever seen Survivor.
Oh, sure. So, yeah,
it's very much like it. The jury is left, and the jury votes. And everybody in the jury, these people evicted, so now they want them to vote for them to win. So.
Oh, when you find out who wins tonight, just text me the name, then I'll know who won on the show.
I will. It's kind of like me wondering what Steve's deal is tomorrow. Same thing, right?
So, no big deal.
No.
So, all right.
Hey, are we doing that photo shoot next week?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep. There's a picture that so people know what we're talking about of when I was 7 and you were 6 outside Beaver Stadium, where the Rock is now, so people know where the Rock is. Kevin doesn't know where the Rock is, but the two of us holding a Penn State pennant, and so we're going to replicate the photo 42 years later.
That's going to be cool to see.
52
years later, I mean. 52 years later. We're going to replicate
it. I like the 42 part, but unfortunately.
Yeah. 42,
yeah,
52, it's still going to be cool to see.
Yeah, we're going to replicate it 52 years later. We're going to do
52
that.
52 years later. Can you imagine?
Yeah. That's really cool because my mom, when they dedicated that broadcast center, had the picture blown up and put it in a frame. And I guess you finally saw it again when you came here for Megan's wedding.
I've got a picture of it here.
Yeah, well, we're going to replicate it again just for fun because I think a couple people have asked me about it, including Jack Ham asked me about it. He goes, oh, you got to replicate this. I said, yeah, we will.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. And who's getting it? Where's the picture go?
Well, we'll take the picture and then we'll have it made up for each of us.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then Sean can put it online, too, on the website.
So. We'll sell it.
Yeah. that'll be a biggie. All right. We got to get to the bottom here.
We do.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Good luck this week.
Thanks.
Have a safe trip. Okay.
Appreciate
Bye.
It.
All right.
Tony Knopf, CEO, Spotlight Ticket Management, next on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Wanna see you in Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia is having their annual new Kia inventory adjustment sale. Every brand new Kia's price will be adjusted to make room for the 18. Sunbury Motors Kia has 12 2017 Kia Souls starting at $15,996. That's $3,204 off the iconic Kia Soul. Sunbury Motors Kia has the deepest discount on their most popular Kia Sorento this month only. Take $5,221 off all 2017 Sorentos. Hurry in. There's only 10 left starting at $24,989. There's $4,001 off 2017 Kia Optima. Optimus start at just $19,709. Remember, all Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. There's brand-new Kia Rios under $14,000. SMC is very motivated to sell every 2017 Kia in stock at the lowest prices of the year. Hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Tax and tax extra. Offers expire 9/17. Restrictions apply. Warranty is limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And as far as I'm concerned, too much time passes between conversations with Tony Knott, but it's always great to bring him back on. Tony, welcome back. It is great to have you with us.
How are you, my friend?
It's great to hear you. I hope the youngster can't call baby anymore. Hope the youngster's doing well.
She's doing great. She turned 2 last week. Time's flying.
She's 2 years old now.
Amazing. Yeah.
All right. Let's do this by the numbers. USC Texas drew 84,000 on Saturday night. You know where I'm going.
Oh, yeah.
And the announced numbers totaled 81,000 between the Rams and the Chargers on Sunday. You live there, so what are we seeing? Or maybe more importantly, what are we not seeing?
You know, if you're not living here, you're also not seeing the disparity in coverage. You have to go out of your way to hear about the Rams and the Chargers. They're just not around. The USC Texas game last week was everywhere. It was on TV. It was on the radio. It was on every form of media in the Los Angeles market. And the Rams and Chargers are an afterthought, even considering the fact that the Rams won their first game rather convincingly and looked pretty good doing it. So the Chargers is even worse. The stadium was 50% Dolphins fans. I'm told by many people who were there that it was more than that. And the press already has turned on them. You know, one of the writers here who gets the most attention, Bill Plaschke, already wrote an article saying the Chargers don't belong here. And they're starting to learn that. They even booed when LaDainian Tomlinson talked about the ownership and moving the team to Los Angeles. They got booed in their home stadium. So this is going to go from bad to worse pretty quick.
In fact, my understanding was the decibel level was about 106 in favor of the Dolphins when they won the game on Sunday, that they actually had more fans.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that. And they didn't sell it out. There's only 27,000-ish people that play at StubHub. You've been there. That's where Penn State went in practice.
That's right.
It's a very small venue that should sell out. You know, I think the Rams oversold themselves last year. They had a sellout for the first two games. It was such a terrible game day experience. It was as hot as it can be. They didn't have the tie-in that USC has with their fans in the same building. The Chargers coming a year later without a stadium, you know, the fan base up north doesn't like them. The fan base in San Diego is now protesting. They don't really have a home. You know, just off the cuff, I landed in Los Angeles in the Burbank Airport Sunday morning at 8 a.m. coming back from a trip, and it was full of Raider fans flying to Oakland for the Raider game. This is still a Raider town.
No doubt about that. 5 years ago, you and I were to have had this conversation, I would have felt, and just privately had told you, I think the two entities that appeared to be bulletproof to me are the NFL and ESPN. Now, here we are 5 years later. It's my gut feeling that what we're seeing from the NFL as an organization and what we're seeing from ESPN as an organization, they've gone from being so sure of every decision they make to now guessing. Does that have any merit to it, in your opinion?
It's poor leadership on the NFL side. The fact that they're extending Roger Goodell is shocking. I mean, yes, you've had, you know, massive growth over the years, but how many years are we going to see excuses for a decline in ratings? You know, last year it was the Trump effect. What's the excuse this year? You know, the Cubs won the World Series last year. That's not a new thing to watch. There's no election, and the numbers are still down, and down significantly, and down even more significantly the demographics that really matter, the 18 to 34 male demographic and the women's demographic, which they had been making headway on for a while. I think it's poor leadership, and I think that they're in trouble. You know, there's always this discussion about how, you know, the game is maybe not as exciting, but that's not the truth. The fact is there's been so much profiteering in sports for so long that this next generation doesn't have the same emotional tie to their teams that you and I do. They didn't come up going to games for $3 whenever they wanted to. It's always been $180 to take a family to a game. And I think we're starting to see that happen now. And I think the NFL is something to really worry about.
Which then brings me again to something we've talked about before, the millennial question. I feel like that's where they're guessing. What appeals to millennials? And you're around this all the time, Tony. So,
A,
what does appeal to millennials, and where are they missing because you understand how tickets go and how corporate buys go?
Well, we're very lucky is I don't understand it, right? The reason I do know it is because the brands we work with spend $100 million budgets to try to figure this out, right? Wells Fargo and Verizon and American Express and CDW, these are all customers of ours, and we're in the room seeing what they're doing, seeing who they're sponsoring, and seeing what kind of events they're getting into. Millennials are event-driven. They're live experience-driven, and they are not brand loyal at all. And that's these brands are understanding that, and so they're understanding that they're not going to gain, you know, Steve Jones, the millennial, as a customer for 15 years based on, you know, a campaign that they put together like they used to do in the past. They might get your attention for the next year to 18 months. So they're looking for those things that are going to enable and empower Steve to become a longer-term customer. And the reality is, you know, the appeal of the way it used to be, right, where we used to watch movies like City Slickers where they go on a diatribe about how I watched baseball with my dad. Go talk to the millennials. They don't have those stories. You and I do.
Right.
But many of them don't. And that's where these brands are starting to figure it out. And it's becoming a – it's not making sports less interesting. What it is doing is it's making the individual players more interesting. And that's creating a loyalty to that, which is really hurting teams that can't win or in cities that aren't as who aren't as interesting.
You are a diehard, Tony, San Francisco Giants fan.
Oh, man, we're terrible.
Yeah, and I'm a diehard Boston Red Sox fan. So for us, the loyalty as a fan, which is that brand that you're talking about. I was talking with my class on Monday, and I wanted to talk to them about fantasy sports. And I wanted to know how many were doing fantasy football, for example. And I said, how do you reconcile a guy that you put on your fantasy team that's then playing against your team? And it does come down to them that the individual, because of fantasy, is more important. I feel like fantasy brings people in to watch and maybe watch games they normally wouldn't watch. But at the same time, I think it's taken away that brand. Is that how you're seeing it?
I think absolutely. You know, it's interesting to see how it all changes when it comes to self-interest, right? In the business we work in, we have 85 team partners, and I get a lot of, you know, comments from my friends because I'll wear the merchandise they give me. I wear a Yankee hat, and people laugh at me, and I've lost a lot of the teams that I grew up loving, but I still love the Giants because that's what I grew up watching with my dad, right? And we didn't have fantasy sports. We didn't root against Will Clark and root for somebody on the Yankees. We actually didn't really have the ability to watch the Yankees more than once a week. And that's what it's becoming. And that's what we were saying about the brand is it's becoming an attachment to the individual, right? Fans are more attached to Russell Wilson than they are the Seahawks. Well, that's a bad example because Seattle is pretty well loved, but nationally that's the case. Fans become more attached to Dwayne Wade than they do the Heat. They become more attached to LeBron James and don't care if he goes to the Lakers, they're still going to buy his shoes. So that's what they're seeing, and the brands understand this. And that's why they're going and starting to sponsor more and more, and it's giving the players more and more power. But I don't think the NFL has figured out how to work their way around this yet because they still have huge numbers. Everybody plays fantasy football, and that, in my opinion, is what really took football into the stratosphere was the invention of something that's a fantasy football game that's so easily digestible as opposed to baseball and basketball, which take half your week to keep up with. And they just haven't figured that out yet. And, you know, people are talking about the head injuries. I think that has something to do with it. But personally, I think Goodell has done such a horrible job with the brand that people just, they're starting to dislike it. And they're starting to see it in that negative eye. And I am shocked that he's getting extended.
Yeah, I am too along the way. Is this a case where the NBA and soccer figured it out before anybody else? No, it's Michael Jordan and the Bulls. Larry Bird and the Celtics, okay? Rooney and whomever in soccer. Did they figure it out before everybody else that you can put an individual and then put the ad on as the team?
I would turn the question to you. Do you think the NBA figured it out, or do you think Nike figured it out?
I think Nike figured it out, and the NBA then jumped on board with what Sonny Vaccaro figured out years ago.
Exactly. You know, everything we look at in the NBA as far as – and what people don't understand is that's what even the loyalty play is. You know, Nike figured out that this is about a person and an individual as a brand. They also figured out in watching the kids that, you know, AAU leagues are different than the way you and I grew up playing, right?
I was
a recruited athlete. I played at USC for, you know, for both sports. I was recruited basketball and volleyball. But we didn't travel that much, right? I was on a travel team, that sort of thing. But it's not like it is now where you might live in Athens, Georgia, and you play for a team in Virginia. And you just go and partner with your friends. There's no loyalty to anybody. So the Kevin Durant decision, the super team decision, though our generation may not understand it as much, that's what these kids have been doing their whole lives. And the NBA figured out that, you know what, it doesn't even really matter. Let's just make sure that we're pumping these athletes. And there's this description that, you know, we've seen more star power in the NBA than we have in the last two generations, and that's why it's exploding. I would argue that they changed the rules so it's more offensive, and they've done a better job of marketing the players.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron, Ronaldo, okay, Durant, you know, I mean, start picking names. I mean, I think those two sports, you know, through Nike, figured out a long time ago, look, the name brand out there has got to be the player.
If you walk up to almost any fan around the world who is not in, you know, Europe or South America and said, who does Cristiano Ronaldo play for? Is it Atletico Madrid? They probably say, yeah, that's it. He plays for Real Madrid. Like, you and I know that, but his brand is so strong that even the brand of the football club he plays for, which a lot of people in North America wouldn't enjoy me saying this, is one of the three biggest brands in the world, would get overlooked in favor of him.
Absolutely it is. That, I mean, that's a profound statement that's absolutely accurate. I want to get to what – go ahead.
Neymar's the same thing. He just made 275 million pounds in the transfer window to play for PSG. And I guarantee you if I go on a number of sports shows and ask the callers what PSG stands for, they don't know it means Paris Saint-Germain. They have no idea.
None whatsoever. And in fact,
probably worth
him
more
being
than
there puts them on the map.
NFL teams. Exactly.
Yeah, him being there puts them on the map.
And as a club, they're worth more than probably 25 of the NFL teams.
That's right. Amazing. I have to ask you about a merger. It's a media merger. They'll probably announce it sometime. I don't know if it'll be this week or next week. IMG and Learfield coming together. Between them, they'll have 200 properties. Most of them in college athletics. They'll have all but seven of the Power Five schools under their domain. What does this mean? It probably means nothing for the listener, but what does it mean in the business world because of all the corporate partnerships they sell and so forth?
It's a monopoly. I'll be interested to see if the DOJ allows this. So to sum this up for the listener, Learfield's a partner of ours. We've known them a long time. And Learfield has actually changed ownership. I think this is the third or fourth time in the last 5 or 6 years. The bankers have seen the value here. What Learfield does is they go to the college or university and they say, you want to sell on a national level. You want to sell to Nissan. You want to sell to, you know, American Express. You want to sell to these big brands. And it really doesn't make sense for you to go hire an entire sponsorship sales team. Why don't you let us do it, and we can bundle you with the other teams in the Big Ten and start selling bigger deals. So I can go to Nissan and say, hey, sign up for 108 schools, and I can bundle you in, and you start getting checks because my sales team's out there doing what they're doing. That's a really watered-down version of what Learfield and IMG do. Well, Learfield and IMG have always had this co-opetition, right? They respect each other. They actually are partners on a business where they do ticketing services. They represent 90% of the universities and colleges out there. So the fact that these two are merging means that there's no competition now, right? If you own a company and you want to involve college sports on a broad level, you can't say, hey, I'm getting a better deal at Target than I am at Walmart. You basically have one place to go, and that's the only place you can go. And, you know, Greg, the CEO, is a great guy, and I think that they'll probably navigate their way around this, but I would anticipate the Department of Justice looking into this as a monopoly.
Yeah, the last time Learfield was sold in this, it was for $1.3 billion, and in all likelihood, the initial that Greg Brown indeed would be the guy. And yeah, you and I both know Greg, so he is a great guy, and he's a very smart guy. But it also is a behemoth that he would be running if they get this way, because the total would be about $2 billion between the two of them as to what they're worth.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a massive undertaking. It'll take them a little while to get these two schools together, but then once they do, they have so much negotiation power, which, you know, that's generally not allowed. You know, sometimes it's happened. You know, Ticketmaster got away with it. So we'll see if it happens, and I assume that, you know, they wouldn't be doing this merger if they were confident that there wouldn't be a problem with the DOJ. But, you know, one of their original investors, somebody who actually owned Learfield, I think two ownership groups ago, was Shamrock Capital Partners.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't matter to people who don't know who they are. Shamrock is part of the FanDuel-DraftKings merger, which just got shut down. So kind of the same thing, right? Really smart guys with a lot of money who looked at this and said, I think we're going to get this through, and then they didn't. So there is still an opportunity here that, you know, the DOJ comes in and says, we're not going to allow this. But if they do, Learfield is a very well-run company that knows what they're doing, and it's going to change the landscape significantly for college sports. And Learfield owns Pac Yolen now, which is the largest college ticketer out there.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a one part that I think they'll try to use to their advantage is the fact that seven Power 5 schools are not under the guise of either IMG or Learfield. Michigan State, mm-hmm. USC, they're both Fox, and Notre Dame is, and there's four, I think Kentucky, I think there's four others. I think they'll use that as, well, it's not a complete monopoly. You can see where I'm going.
Yeah, but that's awfully difficult, right? You know, if you're, you know, Steve Jones car manufacturer, you're going to come compete with Tesla and you want to do something in college. You know, if you say, I don't want to work with Learfield, you're basically left with, you know, seven majors and a bunch of minors. That gets you nowhere, right?
So true. So true. Oh, we don't talk often enough. Appreciate the time very, very much. There's 18 other topics I had here, but we'll get to them another day.
Next time we'll talk Pyeongchang, because that is a tire fire that is unbelievable in its magnitude. It is going to be the least attended Olympics in history by an order of magnitude. It's going to get real ugly.
Yeah, and you know what? And I think it sets the tone for, to me, it's going to put such immense pressure 11 years from now in Los Angeles to be successful by using every connection they have to get money that I'm wondering how much of it's going to be dried up by the time they get there.
And we'll see. Tokyo's got to be a hit. It's all or nothing for them in Tokyo.
Wow. We definitely have to get you back. That's an entire show right there. Tony, thanks so much. Appreciate the time, as always, my friend.
Thank you so much. Good luck this week with the Hawkeyes.
Tony Knopp, CEO, Spotlight Ticket Management. One of the like on the guest list, like on the must-have. We'll come back, wrap up the broadcast extravaganza in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Well, what a way to end the show with that promo. That is, by the way, an award-winning broadcast. Our Shikellamy broadcast has won many awards, and we congratulate Kevin and the Coach Dick Court on the awards that they've won over the years for a great broadcast. They're at Williamsport Friday night at 7. Tomorrow, the Phillies, who are playing really exciting baseball down the stretch, are in our time slot tomorrow. Friday, Gary Dolphin, the play-by-play voice of Iowa football, will be joining us. Looking forward to that very much. Our thanks to Tony Knopp. I can't thank Tony enough. Cannot. He is the A-lister. My brother, Greg Wetzel, Steve Williams, Kevin Herr.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.